WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
What the fuck was he talking about?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
All I'm asking is that you rock one masterpiece.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
It turns all your bad feelings into good feelings.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm ready for sex.
The Omega.
Prison and rehab have changed me. All these blankets have saved my life.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
He's got a nice thing.
He's not so bad with the singing and the playing and the shaking with the tookers.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I am starting to think that maybe you don't believe in me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you don't want no part of this shit.
He's a third generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar, Shawn Michaels.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Eric Bischoff, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
It's a nightmare.
Tonight was hell in a cell, but so was Friday. So
it was a weekend of hell in the cell.
They did say it was hell in a cell weekend.
What did they do on Saturday?
That's a good question. We'll answer that and more. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The voice you just heard was Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, I'm here to talk about Big Red Cages of Doom.
Doom. And then there is Tim Stein.
Yeah, hello. I'm not full of doom. But apparently, as of right now, there's a lot of gloom in Montreal, Quebec, because in overtime, the Vegas Golden Knights just scored the overtime winning goal. Final score, 2-1, and it looks like the series is tied heading back to lost wages on Tuesday, for those of you who follow hockey during the playoffs. Hey, Rock, I got a question for you. What do you know what the this is a legitimate question. Do you know what basketball team has gone the longest without winning the championship?
No, I do not, Tim. What team is it?
I don't know. I was, like I told you, it was a legit question.
I don't know how to answer. I don't know. We have an intern. He can figure that out.
Okay, so that's
the Seattle Supersonics.
Is that still a thing?
No, it's not.
I didn't think so. Yeah, so if intern, if you're on top of your shit, team chat says it's the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, because he's a Portland fan and they haven't won anything in a long time. So that would be a thing.
Are you saying in a long time as in never?
Been a minute from what I remember.
Okay, well, it's been a pregnant minute. But yeah, no, I seriously, I'm curious what NBA team has gone the longest without a title. So that would be interesting to know. Because in the National Hockey League, it's the Montreal Canadiens versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Montreal actually beat Toronto to advance to play the Knights. Toronto hasn't won a playoff series since like 2004.
Yeah, Brent just sent me a message. The Sacramento Kings, the longest all-time NBA title drought, belongs to the Kings, who have gone 69 seasons
without a title.
And
okay,
that's active. That's the active longest.
Active teams. That's absolutely impressive. Thank you very much, intern, for pulling that out. I thought it was an impressive stat that the Toronto Maple Leafs have not won a Stanley Cup since 1967. And then Sacramento Kings, 69 years.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
So, and as far as Toronto not winning shit, I'm good with that.
But who won shit tonight in the world of WWE, Tim?
Well, we're going to be talking about that, but I just want to say really quickly, Keishi,
yo,
happy Father's Day.
Ah, and to you as well. And to all of the people out there playing fatherly roles to tiny humans, a happy Father's Day to you as well.
Absolutely. And Rock?
What?
Rock?
What?
Happy Sunday.
Yeah. It's not a happy Sunday. It's not a happy Sunday.
Not a happy Sunday because your Sixers lost. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know. You're very broken up about it. Yeah.
Well, is intern a Sacramento Kings fan or something like that? He just told me where to go for no reason. I was being all nice and honest and sincere and thanking him and shit like that.
I don't know.
And he told me off swearingly, so I don't know what's going on. Anyway.
Hold on. I got to answer something. Yes, there are ads at the start of the stream if you watch the stream. But guess what? If you don't want ads on the stream, just link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Most impressive. Keishi, did you do anything special today for Father's Day?
I hung out on my brother's driveway and helped him with his garage sale.
Absolutely impressive. I went shopping and then did a little bit of fishing with my cousin.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, he's really a very impressive fisherman. I'll tell you, he's hooking the worms himself, just like, and it's just impressive. It's incredible how deft and adept he is at stringing that worm right onto that hook. I mean, the guy is an absolute master baiter.
Oh.
There you go. Anyway, I had to get that out of the way.
Now can we get to the show?
Yeah. And, of course, when Rock gets into debates and discussions and stuff like that, he's a master debater. So there you are. Geez, I think I'm going to have to start writing down all of these bad dad jokes, just open up the show with them every week.
So Hell in a Cell happened and the pre-show
just
featured...
Just the shits and the giggles. Yeah, let's get to Hell in a Cell. That happened tonight, but you were busy watching basketball. I watched the pay-per-view.
I watched the majority of the pay-per-view. There are moments I missed, but I saw a good majority of the show.
Okay, and Keishi, did you catch the pre-show?
I did.
What happened?
Well, they previewed the night's festivities.
Really? Was it any good?
I mean, if you saw all of the lead-ins to all the matches, you basically saw the pre-show minus the match between Natalia and Mandy Rose.
There you go. Yes, there was a pre-show match, and for a freebie match, it was a good solid match.
Yeah, I thought it was well done.
Which speaks volumes about Mandy Rose. She's actually looking better every time she steps in that ring, and of course, going up against Natalia, it's hard to look bad, win or lose.
Yep. I mean, there was nothing that blew my socks off, but it was a very solid match. It was, watching it was enjoyable.
I was pleased with the match. And of course, the outcome, I do believe is the proper one. Natalia winning, via submission.
For someone like Mandy Rose going forward, them returning in front of a live audience and doing some house shows will be beneficial for her, because the more reps, better.
Yes. House shows are where you get that done.
Yeah, so it's like you do all the practice matches you want at the PC or whatever, but being in front of the crowd has halted some people's careers where they just, like, they haven't taken the next step. And Mandy was on that rise a little bit, and then we lost the crowd, and then she stopped working every week, and it's like, it's good to see her getting her feet back underneath her.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are wrestlers that need to actually work every week, and they do benefit from a live crowd. This is not a knock.
No.
It's just some have to work harder than others.
Especially people who are new to the business. She was not an indie wrestler. She came to WWE and trained, and then her first experience was being on the main roster. Not saying the match was bad. It's more reps are better for people, just so they feel more comfortable in the ring. That's all.
Yeah, and like I was saying, she's looking better. Now, if that's because she actually performed really well, or because, well, Natty can have a fantastic match with herself and get the air over. But
indeed,
that's, you know, that's
I'm sure it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Little from column A, little from column B. Quite possibly. So, yeah, good to see that Mandy's getting better and better. Don't know what else to say about this pre-pay-per-view match.
Get to the main show. Get to the women in a cage.
So I'm going to be just the pay-per-view overall. The way the matches were lined up, I could understand the logic to the booking of the show. However, having seen the entire pay-per-view now after the fact, it's almost like they presented it to us in reverse order.
It's also that probably wasn't supposed to be the main event, because the main event happened on Friday.
Yeah, true. But the opener tonight, Bayley challenging Bianca Belair. Actually, Bianca Belair challenged Bayley to a title match.
Because of laughing.
Because Bianca was sick and tired of that stuff. And all I can tell you, what's Bianca's husband's name?
Montez Ford.
Montez Ford, exactly. I would not want to be him and piss her off.
Yeah.
I mean, she says, babe, go do the dishes. You say, yes, sir, ma'am. That is one tough lady. This match is absolutely incredible. It was off the chain, Cash.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, when you have someone with the athletic caliber of Bianca Belair, the wrestling caliber of Bayley, plus the experience that Bayley has working in a cell, you can't not go into this match expecting it to be nothing but good. And they like exceeded expectations, in my opinion, as to how their match was gonna go. Like, I expected it to be good, and they just, yeah, they did everything and more that I wanted. It was very, very well done.
So, well, here, hold on, Tim. There's a negative about this match, and not anything with the girls. It's when you have a script written in front of you going, hey, she taped two kendo sticks together when they didn't get to the spot yet, because there was one kendo stick that Bayley was using, but it was supposed to be two. Oh, wait, it wasn't actually two, but Michael Cole was trying to get it over as two, even though that spot came like 3 minutes later.
And he tried really hard to save face, being like, oh, no, the other one was two taped together the other way. You're like,
no.
In the words of Bayley, shut up, Cole.
Pretty much, yeah. That's...
Yeah, you see, Michael Cole has a bad habit of not putting the shovel down once he's dug himself into a hole.
I mean, I'll give him points for trying, but at the same time, you know, he could have just been like, oh, I thought I saw two tape. Like, I would have been, I mean, yes, I would have laughed at him more, but if he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought I saw two tape together, I've been like, well, I mean, that's kind of more at least admitting that he messed up as opposed to trying to save face.
But what was bad is Pat backed him up.
Wow. That's because
that was,
Pat
that
is looking down at the screen from a standing position. Mm-hmm. And
okay. Big props to him. I like his energy. He just gets up and moves around. That's great energy from Pat.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and for some people, it's really hard to, you know, put out that kind of energy in a seated position. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if the guy's got to stand in order to get that energy out and, like, make the match better by calling it like that, absolutely. He pays for all I care.
It's not so much he's making the match better. He's making the call better. Him doing that actually helps get the fans into it a little bit more, like the ones at home, you know, watching it on the screen.
Yeah, because, cool, I mean, it shows that the guy's commentating the matches, even if, you know, he's doing it for show, it at least shows that he's maybe excited at what's going on in the ring.
Which will be cool when you're in front of fans, because he'll get the fans at ringside hyped. He's hyped. They'll get hyped.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not to say Michael Cole is bad.
No.
But his screw-ups are bad in themselves to the point where it's entertaining. And it's almost the case every pay-per-view, you sit there and you wait and you wonder what he's going to screw up and where it's going to be and when the first screw up out of his mouth is going to be.
Yes.
And it's like you could almost turn it into a drinking game. Take a shot every time you bugger something up.
But anyway, back to the match. These girls put on a hell of a show. Bayley, as we've talked about, has been excellent.
Yes.
At elevating Bianca. Excellent.
It's Bayley. Yeah. Here's the thing. You just said elevating Bianca. I made a couple of notes. Is it Bayley passing the torch, or more Bayley giving Bianca that rub this match that we saw?
I wouldn't say passing the torch. I think she's just elevating her so that other girls on the roster have people to work with.
Now,
Bayley's being very unselfish and helping elevate the entire division as opposed to going into business for herself, as they say.
Somebody on a different brand.
Last month, I used the word equity, and she's still using that equity she gained when she was the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion. Is she's making the next champion in every single match.
So this match was Bayley giving Bianca that rub, and like you said, elevating. Well, that's giving. If you elevate your opponent, that's you giving them a rub.
Yeah, it wasn't passing torch; it was giving the rub. Yeah,
yeah. Using Bayley using Bianca's ponytail, tying it to the rope and to the chair. That was fairly innovative.
About time.
It was well done and nicely planned out. And of course, Bianca finally taking that ponytail of hers and tying it to Bayley's wrist.
That was good. We've seen it. Since WrestleMania, they've used the hair. Let's move away from those spots now. We've seen them, we've done them, make them special, come back to them in a few months. Not every month should that be the thing.
Well, exactly. Absolutely. We've done it. We had a beautiful highlight tonight. Leave it alone for a while.
Mm-hmm. But the finish on the ladder.
Whoo, boy.
Her dropping her right on that ladder. Ooh. Yeah. Props for Bayley taking that spot.
Yeah, Bayley's going to need a spot day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. But Bianca's still your champ.
Yes, she is. Fantastic match. And it was like I was saying right at the top of the show. It's my considered opinion. This match coulda, woulda, shoulda closed the show. And I made that note even before the match was over. I mean, I feel badly for Cesaro and Seth Rollins having to follow that match.
But then I watched Cesaro and Seth Rollins and went, they did a hell of a match.
It was a great match.
See, it would be different if there were fans in the building, but there weren't. So business as usual.
So when are the fans attending the regular weekly tapings again?
July 16th.
Imagine that.
I think it's July 16th. Yeah, July 16th.
So that's gonna be a lot of fun for fans to be regularly in attendance again. But I brought up Seth Rollins and Cesaro. I didn't want to come across making it sound like I was putting them down. There was nothing wrong with their match, and it was fantastic. Seth coming out with the sneak attack on Cesaro.
Yep,
it's what he's been doing to him for weeks since WrestleMania.
It breeds consistency.
Good storytelling.
Exactly.
They do a lot of that on SmackDown.
And this match is just. Every time Cesaro steps in that ring and he's got a spotlight like in the pay-per-view, you know how strong he is. You understand it intellectually, but it never fails to amaze me to see him pull shit out in the ring during matches every single time out. It's like, I knew he was strong, but wow.
See, I'm more impressed of his transition into holds.
Yeah.
His transition into submission holds is top notch. Very smooth.
You just took that, you took my word away from me.
I like the match.
Yeah, I thought it was really good too.
Also, not surprised that Seth Rollins won because he needed a win.
Yeah. And I mean, the nice thing about their program is with Seth winning, they can keep that one going forward still.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all in this case.
Yeah. It's still one that, I mean, this is just my opinion, but it's still one that I think people will still want to watch because they haven't really like beaten them wrestling each other to death like they do most of the time.
Yeah.
And you could use Money in the Bank as a way to get them both in the same match, but not actually a one-on-one match.
Yeah. The booking of these two has been done very well.
Yeah. I was going to make a point. What was I going to say? Shit. Can't remember. Oh, yeah. Seth Rollins sneaking out the win with the inside cradle. We're all in agreement that Seth needed the win.
Yes.
Which is ironic because for Pick'em, we all picked Cesaro.
Well, you guys did.
Well, I didn't mean to include you.
I had Rollins.
There you go. But I was talking about me and Keishi and our absent partner in crime, Omega, who unfortunately didn't have a chance to see the pay-per-view tonight, so he's not available.
He's busy managing all of the toy stores.
No, I think he's just busy playing with all the toys.
Yeah, but still, responsibilities.
I'd have a hard time leaving the toys alone if I was in charge of a toy store.
Oh, indeed.
I admit
it. How else are you supposed to recommend things if you don't get to test them?
Well, exactly. So there it is. The next match on the card, okay, this was the fun match of the night. Who cares about the wrestling? I wanted to see what Alexa was going to do, taking on Shayna Baszler.
I liked it. I'm liking that Alexa's back in the ring. I thought with them going back around the road, they got to figure out a new way to do it. And yeah, they're working on the voodoo and the hypnotizing and everything. Just don't look her in the eyes.
That was a lot of fun. She allegedly, apparently, had Nia under her spell and made Nia slap, what's his name?
Reginald.
And what Reginald. A slap it was.
That was
sweet. Got clocked.
And she's like, how did that happen? But geez, Alexa's double jointedness is really, really a plus for this current incarnation of her character.
Yes.
I don't know how many people paid attention to, but with that reverse wrist lock that Shayna had on her, and she just popped her elbow up, and that look on her face.
Yeah. I mean, and it lets Shayna look a little extra like
ruthless.
Really? Yeah. Ruthless, that's a good word that I was looking for and I couldn't find. To be able to like have someone in the ring that's that flexible to just make it look extra painful when she works the arm like that.
I know people on the internet hate it, the whole story and everything like that. That's great. Sometimes your wrestling isn't that serious. Ooh.
What? A comedy match in a show that is bookended by two giant red cages of death?
Ooh, so
I really wish they would go back to the unpainted cells.
I didn't say that to bring attention to the fact that the cages are red, but yeah, it's just what I don't know. Why? I don't see there being anything wrong with having a little bit of everything on a show so you can appeal to a wider audience in order to, you know, do what you do. Like, why not have some?
Yeah, Keishi, you're defending the comedy matches because half of yours are comedy matches.
Exactly, because I am
he knows
a proponent.
Wrong.
Yeah. Well, that and it's why not have diverse fun wrestling on a show, whether it be an indie show or a nationally televised, longest running syndicated, blah blah blah, TV show.
Well, you gotta have you know it can't be the same damn thing all the time because you know it's a case of you can't win for losing. Somebody's gonna bitch about it no matter what. If it's straight wrestling from bell to bell, somebody's going to be upset. If it's straight comedy matches from bell to bell, somebody's going to be upset.
Everyone's always upset.
If it's a variety of different types of ideas, somebody's going to be upset.
I mean, they're the ones not booking Vicky Guerrero to wrestle, though.
Shut up.
Wait, I'm serious. The other promotion's booking Vicky Guerrero to wrestle this weekend.
No, I mean, shut up. I don't want to hear about it.
Excuse me?
Exactly. I told you I didn't want to hear it.
Anyway, Alexa, no. Alexa this one.
Alexa wins this match, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where she goes from here.
I'm intrigued.
And I'm wondering when we'll see Bray Wyatt, a.k.a. The Fiend, back.
I have an update on that.
Goody!
Scrolling, trying to find it. He was booked. The Fiend is advertised for the August 9th Raw.
Ooh. Holy shit.
So probably sooner than that. But that's the one he's advertised for.
What, is he on a honeymoon or something?
No. He did have a new baby earlier in the year, so.
So he's spending some time being Mr. Mom.
Maybe he's helping Bo on the farm.
There you go. Well, happy Father's Day to Bray, the Fiend. Next match on the card tonight was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens is a fantastic worker.
Yes.
You put Sammy and Kevin in the ring together as teammates or opponents, I'm there. These guys are absolutely just, they've known each other for so long. They know each other so well in that ring. that you're never going to get a bad match when the two of them are in there.
You could tell they were friends when there was a spot where when Kevin's lying on the mat and Sammy's sitting on top of him and they're just slapping the hell out of each other. You could just tell at that moment, yep, they're friends.
Well, it's kind of like when you're, you know, in the summer you're at the beach with your buddies and a couple of beers and you get goofy with each other. Next thing you know, it's a slap fight.
Yep. But Kevin,
all in good team fun.
Kevin's selling was really good in this one. I'm selling the arm, whether it's legit or not, I don't know, but he sold it the entire time.
No, wasn't he selling a throat issue as well?
Yeah, from the spike from the commander, I forget his last name, on SmackDown. Two of them. He took two spikes to the throat.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kevin was holding on an arm. It's like, you could tell he was okay just by the way he was pushing himself back into the ring, and then he would go back to selling it, but I thought he did a really good job in... This will lead to more between the two, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Especially with Sami Zayn winning. It's like, no, okay, Sami Zayn's never supposed to win. What the hell?
Oh, and boy, are we ever going to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. He will not.
There's nothing wrong with that. Sami Zayn is he's one of those few that are actually enjoyable to listen to away from the ring with his bitching and his whining and his moaning and his complaining.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, with Sami Zayn being the way he is, like, he's like the first thing that he's probably going to yell on Friday is like, vindication.
He's a great shit talker.
Oh yeah,
that makes him great.
Absolutely truth. And the fact that he won the match was it caught me off guard. I did not expect that, but it was the proper finish to the match. It was the proper outcome.
Yes.
For this one. You know, Sammy has been taking shit for quite a while. It's about time, you know, it's like the song, even the losers get lucky sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, congratulations to Sami Zayn for winning. And can't wait until we get to hear all of the yapping on Friday.
All right, what's next?
Next match, the Nightmare, Rhea Ripley defending her title against Charlotte.
Tim, you didn't like this one at all, did you?
This tonight, okay, this whole card was a good card overall. It was a good show overall. This was the weakest match on the card, and I hated the match personally.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into the whole thing a little bit later on, but the booking, the way that they're booking Charlotte is not helping Charlotte. The way that they booked this match did not do anything for either one of them except make Rhea look weak. That's all it did. And it's a case of you were talking about when we were talking about the opening match tonight, Casey. Bayley doesn't go into business for herself.
Yes.
I think that Charlotte, and this is just my opinion from my observations of everything going on with Charlotte. First off, I'm sick and tired of having her in the women's title hunt all the damn time. Enough of it. It's time for somebody else to be there besides her. There's a problem, though. Who are you going to get? That's another topic for a different day. We'll talk about it, I'm sure.
I mean, it's very simple. There's a last kicker coming.
Right? She was spotted at the training facility on the weekend.
Uh-huh. She's coming.
So she'll be back in July.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that'll be great having, you know, new blood, fresh blood. But here's the thing. You don't want to take the title off Rhea, right? You know, she just won it at WrestleMania. That was just a couple months ago. And you're calling her the Nightmare. This is a big, imposing broad, full figured. And like I say that in a good way. I mean, her physique harkens back to like the Marilyn Monroes and women like that from like the 50s who aren't overly, I'm trying to say this without getting in trouble because I don't mean it in a bad way, overly obsessed with their personal body image to the point where they think that they need to look like those stick figure models in the magazine, if that makes any sense at all.
Let's move on to the match itself.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm getting on to this, right? I'm not trying to sound weird or pervert or anything like that.
No, we know. We're trying to move you on. Just move on.
But what I was saying, you got this woman and you're calling her The Nightmare and all of this stuff. And you look at what's going on in this match tonight. It didn't do anything for her at all. One bit.
Well, I mean, they really haven't done anything for her one bit since she came to Raw, in my opinion. Like, who was I supposed to cheer for in this match?
A month ago, yeah. She was the heel, and she's been the heel because Nikki Cross has been the babyface in the feud between two heels.
Yes. Yeah. So you put these two in a match, and if you look at it from, if you watched it on mute, you would want to cheer kind of for Rhea Ripley because Charlotte dominated the crap out of that match, which is a whole nother thing whatsoever. But then you see what Rhea Ripley does in the match and you go, oh, I'm not supposed to cheer for her either because she's kind of being a heel. So in a match between two heels, who do you get behind? Why do you want to watch a match that you don't cheer for anybody in
that's
on a pay-per-view?
That's the perils of booking heel versus heel. Seven times out of 10, it doesn't work. But when you do book heel versus heel and one of them is the champion, she shouldn't lose via DQ.
No. She could. She could.
She shouldn't.
She shouldn't, but she could. Just this don't, is what don't, hold on. But you don't use the top of an announce table, that thin piece of nothing that's not a disqualification.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Otherwise, you know, you get someone into the steel steps, it should be a disqualification. You throw someone into the barricade, it should be a disqualification. You use the ring post on the outside, it should be a disqualification.
Oh, it depends on who's booking and how they feel when they write it up.
Well, yeah, but...
Randy throws that table
fact,
thing
I'm
everywhere.
Pretty sure they've run people into the table.
Yes. Look at every...
And it's not been a disqualification.
Look at every Randy Orton match. He drops them onto the table every time. It was a cheap way to get out of the match. And then it's like, oh, you're learning from me. Yeah, I'm learning from you. So you're learning how to be the next Charlotte Flair. Is that what we're getting out of this? Charlotte was teaching her how to become her, and now they're going to be allies? I don't know.
Make less sense. All this does is give us another match between these two. And like I said, I can do without a top tier match with Charlotte in it for a while.
Give me Nikki Cross, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, and put the belt on Nikki. She's the only one people care about.
If you want to make Rhea a solid heel, yeah, you throw Nikki in the ring with her and have Rhea dominate.
Yeah, but she hasn't dominated anyone at all.
You bring Asuka back for a rematch, and you have Rhea drop her.
Well, she did on Monday.
Yeah, but, like, save that for the pay-per-view.
We can move on from that.
It's like, if you're going to make her a heel, stop putting her against other heels.
Hopefully that changes.
And like I said, this match did nothing for either one of these women. At all.
Just gives us another opportunity to see it again.
And I'm telling you, I will probably use that match to go and wash my car.
Could be as early as tomorrow night on Raw.
I'll probably wash my car if I get home early enough from my next job. I like being late. It's fun.
Let's get to the main event.
It's Bobby Lashley defending against Drew McIntyre. And this was the second Hell in a Cell match of the night.
Third of the weekend.
I expected a brutal match, Casey.
Sorry to say that again.
I expected a brutal match.
I agree that I also expected a brutal match, and I think we got it.
That's exactly what we got. We expected brutal. We got brutal.
I mean,
do you see a ref bump in a Hell in a Cell match?
To that effect, not very often.
Yeah, that's very rare, but we did see it tonight. And as soon as I saw the ref bump, I just knew what was going to happen. It's pretty obvious.
You mentioned it's brutal. Just look at Drew McIntyre's back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That boy is marked up like crazy. He's lucky that he's got a little bit more pigment in his skin than his buddy Sheamus does. Not much, but a bit more.
Well, he's probably allowed to go out in the sun unlike Sheamus.
Yeah, I don't think Sheamus is allowed to go under a heat lamp, never mind the sun. But very good, very entertaining match. Two great big behemoths beating the absolute living crap out of each other, which a match like this is what you want.
Yeah.
And that's what we got. It was entertaining.
It was exactly what it needed to be for a Hell in a Cell match.
Yep. And starting off, Drew doing the smart thing, just taking it to Bobby like crazy. But what this is doing, never mind the shenanigans that we saw and, you know, the air quote cheap finish. What this is doing is really cementing Bobby as one tough SOB.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is, but he is a tough SOB. But, you know, the perception becomes reality in this situation.
Yeah, you can't come out of a match like that and not, at the very least, like, have people impressed by how much of a beating you took. And that doesn't go just for Bobby Lashley. It goes for Drew McIntyre as well.
Oh, this is absolutely true. Drew completely out of it, almost totally gone. And Bobby had to go and grab the kendo stick, and all that did was it revived Drew.
Yeah.
Which was really good. That was fun. But like I said, as soon as the ref took the bump, you kind of sort of knew what was going to happen. You could almost project it. And at the end of the match, the commentator is saying that this is all Drew's own fault, which is 100% accurate. He demanded the referee on the outside open up the cage and get in here.
Well, I mean, from a storyline point, yes, I guess technically it is Drew's fault because he ordered the other referee watching the gate to go inside. But yep. I'm pretty sure that there was more than one official outside the cage that probably could have been like, MVP, you're not supposed to go in there.
Yep.
So is it Drew's fault? Yes, but... Mm-hmm. Could someone else have, like, told MVP not to go in there?
Maybe. Yes.
But what if MVP threatened them to let him in? We didn't see that part.
I don't think that's what happened, but...
You don't know.
Either way.
You don't know.
Well, considering MVP is standing there with his back to the door, and a referee just goes, instead of, like, telling MVP, hey, you shouldn't be in there, you better get out, he just goes, yeah, I'll just lock him in there. That should be fun. So... I mean, they could have pulled him out before they locked him in, but that wouldn't serve, you know, the storytelling of this match. I did enjoy that little part, though, where he's talking all that trash and then turns around and he's like, hey, why is the door locked? What? I thought that was well done, considering it was there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, in order to get the story across the way I wanted to, we had to make some assumptions as to why MVP managed to stay in the cage.
So twice now, Drew has cost himself the title.
No, and I got to wait for Drew to get Bobby to agree to one more match.
No, they can't. There's his last one.
Yeah, I know that, but I have a way for it to happen.
How?
You book it so Drew takes his frustration out on MVP on a regular basis on Raw. Until the Bobby and MVP have had enough. It's not going to happen. I'm not saying it should happen. I'm just saying you could book it that way.
Or you just put Drew and Money in the Bank and have someone else challenge Lashley at Money in the Bank.
Oh, gee, like that's been done before.
I mean, that would be good to get new matches.
So. How about
we get a new match? Not something there we've seen already a bunch of times.
There's about 10 different ways they could override that you can't fight me ever again.
But you get Drew away from the title picture. You say Charlotte Flair is in the title picture all the time.
Yeah.
As Drew told us, we've seen a lot of Drew content this last year, especially in the title picture. He's been in the title picture since last Royal Rumble, so it's, what,
oh, yeah,
it's 16 months?
Take Drew out. Before he gets stale. That's the problem with Charlotte. She got stale.
Even though she disappeared for months.
Yeah, but she didn't disappear before she got stale. Anyway. No, this was an absolutely brilliant match. My note says that it was a bullshit finish.
I wouldn't say bullshit finish. It's just
Well, here's the thing that the rest of my note says, but in a good, air quotes, heel way.
Okay.
Right? It's the type of bullshit finish that works.
Mm-hmm.
And this worked.
Yeah, it doesn't take anything away from Drew, even though now he's lost and he can't defend the title anymore.
Yep.
At least he's still coming out with like a loss of shenanigans as opposed to getting beat clean. And that's what you want to do in order to keep him relevant, but still out of the title picture.
It's where he can grow now. He's beat himself twice in two big situations against Lashley. He has to learn and grow.
Yeah, he needs to go climb that mountain again in the rain and snow.
When did Lashley first win the title?
Right after...
what was the March pay-per-view?
The March pay-per-view, wasn't it? Chamber?
Was it at Chamber?
No, he won it on Raw from Miz, right? Yeah,
after Miz cashed in.
At Chamber. At Chamber. So it was like 2 weeks after the Chamber. So beginning of March.
And what were we all absolutely positive was going to happen at WrestleMania?
Drew was getting his moment.
And he didn't get the moment. They're putting all their money behind Bobby, which I think is absolutely fantastic. They're not using him as a traditionalist or like a stepping stone or a transitional champion. Some people might think that because of sort of get political, but because of all the stuff that has happened in the past year, that he's only got the title because of his skin tone.
No, and he has the title because he's a legit athlete.
Well, this is what I'm saying, right? There are some people out there who do think that or who have thought that, and that may have potentially been reinforced had he lost back to Drew.
Here's the thing: If they wanted that, they would have done it a year ago. Continue.
Yeah. Let me finish. Okay. WWE is notorious for not exactly being on topic, on point with what they do. The fact, like I said, I wasn't meaning to get political, but it's hanging there. I have seen it on social media, but the fact that they are making him such a dominant, legitimate, badass champion is fantastic, and nobody should look at him as anything other than a dominant, badass champion, period.
So pick 'em results, Tim.
Let me just get everything out of the way so I can call up my email from the intern. It'll eventually kick in.
I have it up if you need it.
Okay, so here we go. 13th place. Now, this is a first, Rock and Casey. Tied for 13th, both the 8-ball and the wheel went 2-4.
Okay.
In 11th place, Chris and Rob, 3-3.
Okay.
Tied for 6th place, intern, Casey, Lindsay, Subway, and yours truly all went 4-2. Tied for 1st place, Michael, Omega, Sheila, and Tommy C went 5-1.
So did I.
I don't see your name there. I don't think you submitted on time.
You kind of skipped over it. I see it right there. He just skipped over it. That's...
Hey, you do shit like that to me on a regular, jackass. I'm just getting even with you.
It's a shtick that Brent does every time we do a pay-per-view results with him. Anyway, so you're using his shtick. How do you feel about that?
Well, I was using his shtick before he was, so it's my shtick and he stole it.
Okay.
Maybe his stealing it is an homage.
So, you're saying he's paying tribute to me?
Oh, he wouldn't admit to that, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't.
No. But we have other results.
Absolutely never would.
We have other results to get to. Tonight was the end of
WTR. We have other results to get to?
Tonight was the end of WTR Fantasy League for the season. It was the June pay-per-view. It snuck up on us. It was June pay-per-view.
Holy shit.
In terms of the solo performances, Casey did not have a good season.
Boy, didn't I ever not. I mean... I started picking it up in the back end, but man, did I start off terribly.
Yeah, Casey, you suck.
Well, I mean, considering it's my second draft ever, I don't care.
Yeah, but you're getting worse, dude. Pick it up.
Well, I mean, when you're on the bottom, there's nowhere to go but up.
But weren't you on top last time, or very close to the top last time for your team?
I did very well. The first time,
and now you were at the bottom for your team.
Well, I mean, let's face facts. This is probably where I should have been the first time around. So I was due for being the worst.
You finished with 177, followed by Omega with 227. I had 241. Lindsay had 254. So it came down to either Brent or Tim for the most overall score. Tim had 273. Brent had 285. He also gets plus 30 because he had the overall score. So the Rock wins the season 8-11 to 6-87.
You guys got to quit cheating.
How are we cheating?
I don't know. I just know that you guys always cheat.
You had Roman Reigns, right, on your team?
Uh-huh.
And you still lost?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's because you guys cheat.
Lindsay had Bray Wyatt for 3 weeks, and we still won.
Shut up.
That's our show.
There it is, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the review show. If you watched pay-per-view, hope that you all enjoyed it as much as we did, because overall, we definitely enjoyed it. I think I can safely say that, Cash.
Yeah, I enjoyed this pay-per-view very much.
Yeah, and Rock saw most of it, except that basketball was distracting him, so I'm pretty sure that he didn't hate it either.
I didn't hate it. I enjoyed what I saw. I'll have a more full in-depth review Thursday when I see the whole show.
There you go, but we're getting to that. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
It is the Raw post show. We're hoping for fans really, really soon so the show gets better. It's the Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And there you go. And, of course, Thursday night, Rock alluded to it. It's 10 o'clock Eastern. It's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack radio show with your host, Lindsay Ward. Hi, Lindsay.
We're calling this the show, the one where they turn nine. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll review Hell in a Cell, NXT, Tweet of the Week, and all the news you can handle as The Rack. The one where they turn nine. Thursday.
Really?
10 p.m. Eastern.
Been on for 9 years. Congratulations. I'm impressed. And I like how you did the Friends reference thing on the graphic.
Yeah.
But wow, time flies.
It does.
I'm really happy for Lindsay.
I know you are.
But hey, any Rack extra or podcast extra or anything else?
No,
like that
we're just doing just the normal. When we have one, Tim, we'll let you know.
Okay, because I just like every time I ask, you never have one, and then I don't ask, and you've got one.
It was WrestleMania season. We were very busy. Calm down now.
Okay, well, you know what? Fine, whatever. Why don't you just go play Fortnite with friends throughout the week?
We do Saturday nights right before CB Radio, which is CBRadio.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com, midnight-ish Eastern.
Okay, you just plug CB Radio, so I won't.
I know.
So, there you go. And, of course, next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, if there's anything to talk about, pay attention to the social medias, and we'll let you know if we're going to do a show called Russell Talk Radio. And we'll probably be here for at least an hour doing something. You never know.
Maybe, right? Maybe a draft. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We might talk about a draft.
We may do the fantasy draft. Who knows?
Don't we have to plan a new season of fantasy?
Tune in to Russell Talk Radio Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And of course, you can, speaking about social medias, you can follow everything going on with the websites on social media.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Twitter and Facebook, it's at WTR Sunday Night. Before you go and do other things, you can also do the Discord command and chat right now and join Tim for Hockey Talk in the new Discord we have.
Yeah, but there's also other things to talk about in Discord. We've got more than just one channel.
I know, but I was plugging hockey so you could talk hockey with people. It's giving you an opportunity to communicate with the people.
That's fantastic. You can bet that I'll be hosting live hockey chats during hockey games when the regular season kicks off 2021-2022, starting this October. Because everybody that I'll be bringing in there are going to be, you know, like Calgary Flames fans.
Cool. But you're on social, Tim.
I am. You can find me at Flames Forums on the Twitter machine, because that's where you'll find me. You're cruising around Facebook and you see Tim Stein. Yeah, that's me. You can add me on Facebook if you want. I'm just never on Facebook. But, hey, you know, I got a couple other social medias out there, both of them Twitter, at Voicing Sanity, if you want to get the uncensored political thoughts and opinions. And if you want to talk about food, follow me at Man Kitchen TV.
Casey.
Hi.
Stuff. Plug it.
I sometimes social media. I am also on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. When I remember to tweet, you will find me tweeting. I'm also on Instagram, though my picture taking ability is lacking, mostly because my job involves driving vehicles and I don't want to crash while doing that for the sake of likes on the internet.
But the internet's all about likes. You need all the likes.
Yeah. Well, maybe when I come to a stoplight or something. I'm also in the process of setting up a Twitch stream. Eventually, it will be on there, and you can find that at twitch.tv/wackoninja. I will be playing video games terribly because that's how I play video games. You can also catch me wrestling on the Clandestine Society. Act 3 is due to drop July 1st. I am not on Act 3 due to some reasons that did not enable me to join in the session, but I will hopefully be doing more of that, and you can find those on the Backbreaker Media YouTube. You can also catch me wrestling for Real Canadian Wrestling here in Alberta. We have started doing live shows again as of this past Friday and Saturday in Calgary and Edmonton respectively, and I will be making my in-ring return to RCW this Friday in Calgary and also this Saturday in Edmonton. You can catch them on all the socials at Real Canadian Wrestling and on their YouTube at Real Canadian Wrestling. They will have highlights of the shows.
You are going to move over to Can-Am Wrestling.
Am I?
I'm going to get you hired by Vinny Fever.
Why can't I do both?
Did I say?
I don't know.
Did I say?
You just made it sound like I had to jump ship.
This,
well, you're going to want to after your first like month.
Anyway, this has been WTR Sunday Night, Tim. Not plug your put your friends over channel.
Well, actually, it's the end of the show, so yeah, it is. Anyway, that being said, have yourselves a great, fantastic week. Once again, happy Father's Day to all of the bio dads and those who have been dads to the little ones. Have a great week, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.